On this week's edition of New York Now, Democrats are launching an impeachment investigation into Governor Cuomo after more claims of sexual harassment emerge. Marina Villeneuve from the Associated Press and Bernadette Hogan from the New York Post join me with the latest. Republicans say Cuomo should be impeached immediately if he's not willing to step down. Assemblymember Ed Rod joins me to discuss. And Democrats say they're still looking for answers on the Cuomo administration's handling of nursing homes during COVID-19. Senate Health Chair Gustavo Rivera joins me to explain. I'm Dan Clark, and this is New York Now.
Today, the Senate majority will pass legislation.
We will pass a law prohibiting it, and we will take them to court challenging it.
Another stand.
Welcome to this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark. Impeachment proceedings have begun in the state assembly to remove Governor Andrew Cuomo from office. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie said Thursday that the Judiciary Committee will lead the probe that's alongside a separate investigation from the state AG's office. Six women have now accused Cuomo of inappropriate behavior, including sexual harassment. Our partner, the Albany Times Union, reported this week that Cuomo was accused of groping a woman at the executive mansion in Albany. Cuomo has denied the claims and told me this week that not only is he not planning to resign, but that a fourth term in office is still on the table.
I'm focusing on my job. My job is vaccines, getting a budget done, rebuilding New York. Second, Dan, you don't know any facts. Right? You know allegations. You don't know facts.
So let's get into it with Bernadette Hogan from the New York Post and Marina Villeneuve from the AP. Thanks so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start with the assembly investigation because it just came out on Thursday evening and we are taping on Friday morning. So just a reminder to our viewers that if you're viewing this after Friday morning and the governor has resigned, I apologize. You are free to switch the channel. I won't be offended. So let's start with the assembly investigation. What does it look like? The Judiciary Committee is going to be leading it. The Judiciary Committee has not really done this in recent memory, as far as I know. So what do we know?
Right. Well, first of all, there's only been one impeachment ever in the state of New York. Governor back in the early 1900s.
1913, William Sulzer.
1913, exactly.
I've heard a lot about him in the past week.
Yes, so have I. And so this is something that, and if you look at the state constitution, it's very broad. But either way, impeachment proceedings do start in the assembly. But what happened yesterday was Democrats in the state assembly were discussing a path forward. And Speaker Carl Hastie has been listening to his members, some of whom want the governor impeached for, of course, the allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct, as well as the nursing home scandal that's been ongoing. Mm-hmm. But then others in the assembly are concerned. They're saying, you know, we want Attorney General Tish James's investigation to play out. So, however, we are very troubled by these details, by these women who have come out against the governor. So what happened yesterday was Carl Hastie had a conference with the Democrats, and they decided that they are going to have an investigation of their own in the Judiciary Committee, which will allow them to call witnesses to testify, give evidence, and they also have subpoena power. So what this looks like, and Speaker Hastie, he's calling it, a path towards potential impeachment proceedings, which is very interesting because he was not there a week ago.
Right, and I think this is putting the ball in the court of the Judiciary Committee rather than the Speaker coming out and saying, I want him impeached or resigning. Now he hands it over and they have a little bit more time to discuss how they actually want to move forward, whether that's putting more pressure on him to resign or moving forward with impeachment. There are a number of possibilities here.
Right.
Marina, the AG's office is doing an investigation at the same time. How does this interfere with that? Is it going to interfere, I guess is the question.
Yeah, and the AG yesterday, she said that the two inquiries aren't going to interfere with each other. I spoke with a committee member who is hopeful that the committee and the AG's office are going to try to sort of map out a game plan going forward. And yeah, the investigation could definitely be wide ranging. It could look at the sexual harassment allegations and the nursing home scandal as well.
Do we know a timeline of either probe? I mean, that's the thing that's missing for a lot of people in the public, I think, is how fast is this actually going to happen?
Yeah, for some, you know, I think that there is a hope that it could be wrapped up somewhat time relatively soon. You know, there's, I think, some who think it could take months and months and months. But I have spoken to some lawmakers who think that it perhaps could get wrapped up sooner than that. And with the Judiciary Committee, we have no idea. One of the lawmakers on the committee said he hoped it could be relatively quick, but there's a lot for them to go through.
Right. Just thinking of because I covered law before this and investigations like this, the biggest challenge that people have in depositions is scheduling. It sounds so simple, but it's like, if you want to talk to 10 people, you have to find 10 different days to talk to them for 3 hours, and that could stretch out over a month. It could stretch out over 2 months, but it depends on how thorough you want the investigation to be. Byrne, how is the governor reacting to all of this? We haven't heard from him as of Friday morning since the impeachment investigation was announced, but we did hear from him on Tuesday.
Right. Well, the governor staunchly has said he is not resigning right now. He has a budget to do April 1st, and right now he's saying that he apologizes to anybody that he might have felt or he might have made uncomfortable if they felt that way. Those are, you know, an amalgamation of his words over the past couple days. But right now he hasn't done a press briefing regularly. He did speak to us earlier this week on a press call, but he said, "I never touched anyone inappropriately." However, now we do have stories out of women, one woman, a sixth accuser that the Times Union reported, who we still don't know her name, detailed an account of, or an associate detailed an account that she had been groped by the governor in the executive mansion. And that's very concerning for a lot of lawmakers and, of course, investigators, people who have not yet said that the governor should step aside. And now they're kind of being pushed in that direction, which is what we're seeing again in the state assembly and, of course, the Senate. But I think with what happened yesterday in the state assembly, a lot of lawmakers have been just troubled by what they're hearing, but they also want to grant due process to both the victims and the governor. So what happens, I think they are going to try to have some haste, and as well as the Attorney General's office, they have started scheduling interviews with some of the victims, but who knows how long this will take.
Miranda, do we know where the Senate is on impeachment? Because as we know, if the Assembly passes its impeachment resolution, it would go to the Senate for a trial. So I would assume that senators are thinking about this on some level.
Yes. At this point, very few senators have come out in support of impeachment. At this point, we have an increasing amount who are calling on the governor to resign, to really sort of spare the state from an impeachment probe, where there are so many questions that are still unsettled, like whether any of the allegations could be impeachable. I think there is, you know, definitely just growing pressure, especially in the Senate, for the governor to resign.
That's the big question, is like the legal terms. Like when we think of impeachment on the federal level, it's high crimes, misdemeanors. And I don't know the exact wording in the state constitution, but it's something similar. And then you have to think, like, as a trial in the Senate, which would be overseen by the chief judge of the U.S., the state court of appeals, how do they match that legal definition? But we have about a minute left. I want to touch really quickly on the stimulus package that was signed by the president this week. New York State is getting $12.5 billion to the state government, and various agencies around the state, like the MTA, are getting money, counties are getting money. Byrne, what are we hearing? Are people happy about it?
Right. Well, we're getting a lot more money than we had anticipated.
Definitely more than I thought.
For sure. I mean, like you said, the state's getting over $12 billion. The city is getting close to seven. County governments are also getting a big pot. And this is very important because we thought last year that we were going to have a massive deficit from revenue losses, et cetera, due to the coronavirus, as well as, you know, there's always some money issues going into the state budget. But talking to people like, from the Citizens Budget Commission, for Andrew Ryan, for example, who say, listen, we have enough money to plug our hole this year and potentially some money for next year. So let's work on restructuring issues like, not issues, but areas like education and healthcare. And where can we figure out to plug holes, but then also have a roadmap so that we can start saving money for the future. And so it is good. However, the governor has been saying tax hikes might still be on the table. Of course, the legislature is also considering that. That's something they, you know, members are always considering. But we don't know what that will look like. One houses are coming out next week, and we have a budget due.
There's just a little bit too much going on in Albany right now, but that's what we're here for. So, Byrne Hogan from the New York Post, Miranda Villeneuve from the AP, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So while Democrats have launched an impeachment investigation, Republicans want Cuomo out of office immediately. And if that does happen, it would look a lot like it does at the national level. The state assembly, like the U.S. House, would have to pass a resolution on impeachment, and the state Senate would then hold a trial. And Republicans tried to jumpstart that process this week by introducing their own resolution for Cuomo's impeachment. Here's Assembly Republican leader Will Barclay.
But after this weekend, it just became more and more apparent that regardless of how many hearings or investigations we have, the real problem now is the governor's lost so much credibility and trust that we don't feel like he can go forward and govern.
And the state budget is also due at the end of the month, so things are pretty busy in Albany right now. I spoke this week with Assemblymember Ed Raw, one of the Republicans leading the charge for impeachment and the top-ranking Republican on the Assembly Ways and Means Committee, which handles the state budget. Assemblyman Ed Raw, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me again.
Of course. So Republicans in the Assembly have now introduced a resolution for impeachment of the governor. It's obviously a big step forward, but you would need Democrats to sign on for it to actually move forward and pass in the Assembly. Do you know as of now if Democrats have responded, what they're feeling about it?
Well, there are some Democrats that we know have said the governor should resign. And then there are some that went that step further and said he should resign or we should impeach him. So we've kind of been keeping an eye on how many have called for the resignation. Earlier this week when they conferenced, there were some reports out there that maybe there were only 7 or 8 of them that were willing to go that step further to actually impeach him. So I think at some point, the governor's going to keep saying, I'm not going to resign. And I certainly take him at his word for that. But it's becoming a major, major distraction, and we can't forget these accusers have been credible and there's this investigation ongoing, but we still always have to keep also in the front of our mind the nursing home scandal.
Right, exactly. There is just a lot going on in Albany right now, and I want to get to some of that in a little bit. But first, there's this divide, it seems, in the Democratic Party in the legislature between some, and you alluded to it a little bit, but some people want the governor to resign. Others have gone far as saying that they would impeach him. But then there's a large faction of Democrats who want to wait for the AG's investigation to continue and wait for the results of that before making any moves. Tell me what the advantage would be to impeaching him right now instead of waiting for that investigation.
Well, I think people have to remember that an impeachment, if you try to like parallel it to a criminal situation, it's not the conviction, right? It's moving forward. And it just so happens the way our state, constitution and laws set this up is that the governor, upon the impeachment by the assembly, ceases to be able to function as governor. The lieutenant governor starts functioning as acting governor. So there's an actual trial on the articles of impeachment in the Senate. So I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. But I think it would enable us maybe to have the lieutenant governor step in and at least get us through this period, negotiate what's going to be a very important budget to try to deal with the needs that are out there as we come out of the pandemic.
I imagine some supporters of the governor, including those in the legislature, might point to your impeachment resolution as more political rather than something that will move things forward, give Republicans maybe some votes at the polls. What would you say to those Democrats? Because I imagine the more that this goes on, we're going to hear that narrative more and more.
Well, I think I would remind people that, as we've gone through the last few weeks, some of the most vocal people about this have been Democrats. Many of the progressive, even first term legislators have been very vocal about the governor. So I think it's more of a reckoning of the way this governor has conducted himself with the legislature, that he's not really finding too many defenders. And it is bipartisan. And I think moving forward, it's a good government thing to be able to not have these distractions hanging over what I said is going to be a very important budget. We're trying to get the vaccines out the door. We're trying to provide help to our businesses. We're trying to make sure the schools have the resources they need to reopen. And this makes it difficult. You have two legislative leaders who have called one who was called on the governor to resign, one that I would say kind of was right about there but didn't quite do that, and they're going to have to negotiate a budget with them.
You know, turning to the budget, how is this all affecting the budget process? You're the top-ranking Republican on the Assembly Ways and Means Committee, which negotiates the budget every year with the governor's office and the Senate. How does this play into things? It's obviously a very bad time for everything to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, you know, when you're negotiating something, whether it's in business, whether it's in government, there needs to be a level of trust. And I think there has been an erosion of that trust. And I think we'd be naive to think that's not going to impact the process. Now, I certainly can see the idea that, you know, perhaps a weakened governor strengthens the hands of the legislature. And as we know, you know, there's a lot of talk on the Democratic side pushing for major tax increases and all of that, that the governor really hasn't been so keen on doing, other than, you know, the really narrow proposal that he included in the executive budget proposal. But we're getting into that part of the process. We're going to see one House budgets probably within the next week and see really where the majorities are on those proposals.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that. Do you think Democrats will have more power in the budget process this year? Do you think the governor may be willing to give more concessions during a budget year where he's facing a lot of pressure to either resign or take some sort of action against himself or his administration?
I think certainly he's in a weakened position, but if I was the majority, I wouldn't underestimate him, because he is, you know, very good at using the budget process to get things he wants, and certainly he is very powerful in the budget process. You know, it's just the way our state is set up. That budget process gives the executive a lot of power. So I would say they should be careful with it, but I could see that perhaps they see an opportunity to negotiate a budget with a weakened governor and maybe get some of those priorities, you know, with those tax increases that they want to do, so that they can fund the types of programs they'd like to.
It's really interesting, something to keep a close eye on in the next few weeks. Assemblyman Ed Roth, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Dan.
So going on at the same time is the controversy over nursing homes. You'll remember that late last month, the legislature held a public hearing on Cuomo's health budget proposal, and a big part of that hearing was spent talking about the administration's handling of nursing homes, where more than 13,000 people have died from COVID-19. State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker took questions from lawmakers for 5 hours during that hearing, but Democrats say they still don't have the answers they're looking for. Senate Health Chair Gustavo Rivera joined me to explain and chat about the possibility of Medicaid cuts this year. Senator Rivera, thanks so much for being here.
Pleasure to be here, sir.
So it was late in February that we heard testimony from Health Commissioner Howard Zucker at the health budget hearing, and he was asked a lot about nursing homes. This was a long-awaited hearing. He was there for 5 hours. Lawmakers asked him quite a bit of questions about nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Did you get all your answers? Are you looking for anything else at this point?
We did not. And I would remind folks that these are hearings that are about the current budget proposal that the governor has. So certainly, it was an opportunity for us to ask him about nursing homes, but it was also an opportunity for us to ask to ask the administration about why they would continue to insist that they have to cut Medicaid during the middle of a pandemic, because we are still in the middle of a pandemic. We're talking about 1% across the board cuts, about $500 million in public health cuts to the city of New York, $200 million to safety net hospitals and federally qualified health clinics around the state on the issue of a pharmacy carve-out. I mean, these were the things that we wanted to ask him about. And in many instances, the answers, we did not find the answers. And that's just this administration, that's par for the course for them.
So I want to come back to Medicaid, but on nursing homes, what are you still looking for? What information do you want to know? I know the Republicans were looking for emails in the Cuomo administration. What are you looking for?
What I think is most important is that they need to be, this is the reason why I passed my bill related to data transparency. We need to make sure that all the data that they have related to individuals who died and passed away in hospitals, but were residents of nursing homes, that data needs to be absolutely clear. And the reality is that they have, you know, as soon as the Attorney General produced her report, within hours, the numbers magically appeared, the ones that they insisted they needed to count and recount and recount. And I'm still not certain that we have everything. So But we are still moving forward. It's the reason why we passed those bills and why we will pass more bills in the weeks to come. And we're in conversations with our colleagues in the Assembly to make sure that we can get some real changes done to actually avert unnecessary deaths in the future.
So you mentioned the hearings from last year that were specific to nursing homes. As you said, the most recent hearing was just about the health portion of the state budget. I'm wondering, during those hearings last year, and as you thought about this issue, obviously quite a bit, do you think those deaths at nursing homes were made worse by management at nursing homes, or do you think it was actions of the administration, or is it a combination of both?
I think it would be a combination of both. And there were decisions that were made in small groups of people, like very smart and capable people who were advising the governor. But ultimately, they just talked to each other. They did not include the legislature. The emergency powers made sure of that.
Right.
And they talked to experts that they wanted to talk to, that told them what they wanted to hear. And ultimately, the things that they did were about making the governor look good, not necessarily about solving the problems of New Yorkers. So whether it was around nursing homes or testing or the rollout of vaccinations or closing of schools or closing of restaurants or closing of the state, all of these were just this style of leadership from the governor on steroids, where he didn't have to talk to anybody. And it was just, how can we do this so the governor kind of looks good? Maybe, you know, gets a couple of extra chapters in this book that he found time to write, but not necessarily about addressing the issues that New Yorkers actually need addressed.
And I should mention, we know from the New York Times now that the governor wasn't necessarily communicating with the staff level at the State Department of Health. Mm-hmm. And there's a disconnect there, I think, between what lawmakers see him doing and what is actually going on at that agency. But I want to just revisit nursing homes one more time. Some critics of the facilities have said that maybe it's a bad idea to have some of them be for-profit because there's a financial incentive sometimes to maybe cut some corners for services. What do you think about that? Should we make nursing homes completely not-for-profit in New York State? Would that benefit people?
Well, I actually introduced a piece of legislation along with my colleague in the Assembly, Dick Gottfried, that would actually stop the issuing of new licenses for for-profit nursing homes. And let's be clear, there are for-profit nursing homes that take care of their patients. But we have to make sure that we tighten the rules so that we disincentivize those bad actors that ultimately want to make money and not serve people. Those are the types of things that we need to make sure that we do, which is why we passed the bills that we passed a couple of weeks ago. And one last thing that I want to definitely touch on is the fact that for a long time, the rates that have been paid to nursing homes are mm-hmm. rates that actually make it almost impossible for nonprofit nursing homes to be able to operate. And that is an enormous issue. It's the reason why there has been a transition at this point. Two-thirds of the nursing homes in the state of New York are for-profit nursing homes, and which has made it, because the rates in particular have made it very difficult for nonprofit nursing homes to continue to operate. So it is obviously a multi-headed problem, and we're doing what we can to tighten up the rules and ultimately protect the most vulnerable among us.
So let's circle back to Medicaid, because I think that's hugely important. I was watching the health budget hearing, and I kept on hearing about Medicaid cuts from you and a few other lawmakers questioning the health commissioner. I know you explained it at the top of the interview, but can you go through what these Medicaid cuts are from the Cuomo administration that they're proposing in the budget?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things that happened last year that could not go into effect, because having them go into effect would have actually changed some rules, would have made it impossible for us to get the federal money that was because of the pandemic. There's also a 1% across the board cut. There is a process that it's called a pharmacy carve out. It is a transition of the pharmacy benefit that it's complicated, but the core of it is that it would actually make it so that federally qualified health centers, safety net hospitals, and what are known as Ryan White providers, which are HIV providers for HIV positive patients, use a federal program called 340B. That saves them money when they're purchasing drugs, and they use that money to invest in care for the most vulnerable. And the governor's changes in this budget would actually make it so that they would no longer be able to do that, signifying a cut of about $200 million to safety net hospitals and federally qualified health centers across the state. And that's just the top level stuff. And the reality is that we can go very deep here, but at the core, the governor is continuing to say that he's going to cut that kind of cut Medicaid and continues to resist raising taxes on the wealthy, which should be the first conversation that we have. How do we actually get more revenue by taxing those among us who have continued to get wealthy during this pandemic while the rest of us have sacrificed? So this is why I fought him last week, and I will continue to do so that we get a fair budget in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, that's a very important conversation in the state budget that we'll be watching in the next few weeks. Senate Health Chair Gustavo Rivera, thanks so much.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, we'll see you back here next week with the latest. Until then, thanks for watching this week's New York Now. Have a great week and be well.